Please be seated. Our scripture lesson for today is taken from the first chapter of Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
Amen. This morning, we're going to begin with a reading of a poem. The poem is called "The Creation," and it was written by James Weldon Johnson. While this poem is being read, you will see up on the screens the work of Diane Anderson, a member of our church who's a wildlife photographer, and we're going to be playing a portion of her slide presentation called "Beginnings." So as you listen to the words and see the images, know God's love.
And God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, "I'm lonely. I'll make me a world." And far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, "That's good." Then God reached out and took the light in his hands. And God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world. And God said, "That's good." Then God himself stepped down. And the sun was on his right hand and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered about his head and the earth was under his feet. And God walked. And where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands and the thunders rolled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again and the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm, and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land. And he said, "Bring forth, bring forth." And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, "That's good." Then God walked around and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun and he looked at his moon and he looked at his stars, his little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things. And God said, "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river he sat down. With his head in his hands, God thought and thought, till he thought, "I'll make me a man." Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay. And by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. Amen.
Glory be to God, the great mystery and the source of all that is living and non-living. See, with each individual existence, rainbow, purple grape hyacinth, camel, waterfall, God pauses with a loving gaze and gives praise, replying, "It is good." All is absolutely precious. Breathtaking views, delicate petals, colorful feathers, mossy beds cushioning big boulders, rugged ice-capped peaks, cascading waterfalls. See, beauty awakens our spirits. It stirs in us the wonder and awe that is inexplicable. So we call it mystery. We recognize that there is something so much bigger than we are. Like the universe itself, we claim infinite and everlasting. Some name it God, others claim Christ. Out of the awe and wonder, though, we give praise and thanksgiving. Last week, I hiked over at the Antietam Dam. And as I ambled along the trail, I had to stop and locate myself, find out where I was. But it was in the silence of that moment that I heard bubbling water coming from the small boulder field. So I climbed beneath the underbrush and over and along these plush boulders, just laden with moss. And I discovered in the midst of all this rock, this small trickle of stream coming out from the ground, right? Out from the rocks. It was just pouring out of the ground. It was breathtaking. It was so magical to find this hidden wellspring of water in the middle of the trail. And the sound soothed my spirit. See, this moment reminds me of how God reacted as every new existence emerged, as he made everything, right? The pause. He'd stop. The loving gaze. The exclamation, "It is good." Beauty, it's all around us. Yet what we gaze upon every day somehow seems to lose its glory. Why is it that our everyday byways and highways lose their sense of beauty to us? So many people love to travel because it opens them up to new wonders. Our spirits are heightened when we travel to look for the unexpected. And we slow down to explore and appreciate everything we encounter. A surprising view, different trees or animals that you come across, flowers, a new animal. It awakens the spirit with a renewed sense of beauty and awe. The wonder and awe of God, though, is with us all the time. God sees beauty in creation and proclaims goodness. We too must intentionally grow a grateful heart and practice grateful living. Beauty and the ability to see beauty in all things is the beginning to the way of grateful living. So I want you to take a moment and capture in your heart's eye the most beautiful thing you have ever seen. If you need to, close your eyes. The most beautiful thing you've ever seen, and hold it. How does it make you feel? Now, I want you to turn that heart's eye on yourself. A child of God, shaped and formed out of the same loving hands of God with the same glorious beauty. Hold your own image. How does it make you feel? So often we can look upon the cascading waterfall and say, "It's so beautiful." We can look upon the flower and go, "It's so beautiful." But we often can't turn that same gaze upon ourselves and say, "It's so beautiful." The Judeo-Christian creation story is the greatest love story. And it's your story too. How we read and understand the beginning influences how we read all of the story, and it reflects how the story will end. Johnson, in his poem today that we read, "The Creation," portrays a God who creates with tenderness, compassion, thoughtfulness, and immense joy. He particularly slows down the motherly act of forming a human out of clay, reminding us that we are created out of the same glory that the sun and the stars and the earth were formed. Life was breathed into the body such that God's Spirit dwells within you. Theologian Duns Scotus believes that creation is purely an act of divine, infinite love shaped into finite, visible forms. Love incarnate. Love revealed. Sound familiar? The story of Christ, the story of Jesus. Incarnate love. The creation story emphasizes how humans are created in the very image and likeness of God. Famous theologian Richard Rohr actually insists that this is the truth upon which we must focus. The idea of original blessing. We are the original blessing, all of creation. See, within creation, there exists a divine image, an actual very seed of God that defines us and then connects us to everything, living and non-living, made from the same source, born from the same creator. And as we look upon all beautiful things, we should see ourselves in that same way, just as we are. We each, individually and collectively, are the love story depicted in Genesis. Love is the beginning. It's the beginning to which we should always return. So it's not long after this creation story, like two chapters later, right, that the story of Adam and Eve turns our attention to this unfolding plot of humanity's fall and redemption. Suddenly, all of our heart's eye turns on this lens, where we lose our true selves in this story of snakes, fruit, and separation from God. See, we no longer look upon ourselves in the image of God. Instead, we hide, like Adam and Eve do in the garden. They cover themselves up and go hide. We hide the very foundation of who God made us, of our identity as the children of God, born of the same beauty and goodness, even as the snake and the fruit from which we ate. We separate ourselves from this original blessing, the image and likeness of God in which God has endlessly poured love. And see, we live into the separation that's symbolized by God casting Adam and Eve out of the garden. But this is what we forget. We forget that we can simply turn again and find the God that is within ourselves and return to the love that is God and return to the beginning that is the source and the truth of who we are. We are all God's children, loved and created. It's not that God has sent us out of the garden for eternity or that God has abandoned us. In fact, it's just the opposite. God simply says, find your true self again and turn, and I am there. We lose sight of our own beauty, the original blessing that we are as made in the image of God. Friends, this is the very first blessing upon which we should be grateful. Our own true beauty that dwells within us. See, we can only conclude at the end, God is love, because God is love in the beginning. See, if God never changes, if God is everlasting and eternal, then this goodness was, is, and always will be. And if we too are created in the image and likeness of God, then we too are and always will be the beautiful creation of love. See, here we need to say these words to ourselves and probably to each other. You are beautiful and glorious. Thank you, God, for me and the gift that I am to all creation. How often do we share those words with our friends and family? How often do we turn to people and say, hey, you are beautiful. You are loved. It's really important that you notice the pause in the creation story. Notice how even God stops to enjoy the moment of creation, gazing and admiring all that birthed out of the well of love and his source of love. Know that in the beginning, when God created you, God paused. God gazed upon you and declared, "You are good." All of creation celebrated with great joy as one spirit. It is true today, just as you are, that God forever loves you. And as you remember this act of love, let it soften your heart of gratitude. Let it whisper those small words that mean so much. Thank you. Thank you, God. Gratitude nurtures and feeds our faith. Gratitude is the well from which our faith drinks. This morning, we will celebrate this message of love by sharing in the great feast and communion that Jesus asked to do in remembrance of him. See, today is a special moment as we celebrate World Communion Sunday, a day when Christians all over the world of different denominations unite to recognize the sacred act of communion that connects us. As we share this meal, we begin with a prayer of thanksgiving. Listen to this story of gratitude unfold and allow it to shape who you are in Christ. You are a blessing. Allow this lens of beauty and awe be the lens through which you see all others and all creation. For when you come to the table, we all come with the light of Christ in the glory of God and feast on the very source of life. Remember, and your cup will overflow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.